This is an ABC podcast.
G'day, Signal listeners. It's Matt Bevan here. I just wanted to let you know about my new podcast, China, if you're listening. It's all about the Australia-China relationship and how it's going to shape our lives for decades to come. New episodes come every Tuesday in June. Find it on the ABC Listen app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, last month, when the mice were really, really big and cranky and around, we were getting, my wife and I were getting 120 plus mice out of the pool every morning.
We just scooped them up?
Scooped them up, yeah.
Were they dead?
Yeah, they were drowned, yeah.
How did they end up in the pool?
Oh, just, you know, you got a pool fence, open pool fence. And they were just running rampant. Yeah.
This is Phil Cleal. He's a retired electrician and refrigeration mechanic living near Forbes in the central west of New South Wales. And he's been in the thick of one of Eastern Australia's biggest ever mouse plagues.
So if there's 120 in the pool, I can only imagine that there are some other signs of them as well, like they're elsewhere besides the pool. What were some of the other signs of life that you saw?
Like in my shed, which, you know, my man cave, I was getting 20, 25 a night dead ones from bait. And like over night time, if you went out to the into the paddock to put the dogs away or whatever, you shine a torch around and they were just running, scampering around the paddocks like you wouldn't believe.
How does this measure up to other plagues?
Other plagues? Probably 2000, in the early 2000s anyway, there was another plague, or a plague. And, like I was working on the tools then, obviously, and we'd go to a job and we'd have to duct tape the legs of our overalls and to our legs so they wouldn't run up trouser leg.
How big of a risk is that?
Oh, it's just not so much a risk, Steve. It's uncomfortable.
But was it like a guarantee that if you hadn't taped them shut, then they'd be up there?
Oh, yeah.
You're right.
Yeah. They're filthy little vermin, what they are.
So as Phil says, people in regional Australia have seen this before, with mice multiplying in their hundreds of millions, homes, sheds and businesses absolutely overrun, and an economic and public health toll that is increasingly worrying. I'm Stephen Smiley.
And I'm Ange Lavoie-Pierre. And today on The Signal, what's causing one of the worst mouse plagues Australia's seen in decades? And will it ever end? So the thing to know going into this episode is that in some ways things have finally been getting better in parts of Eastern Australia after years of drought and bushfires in some places and hail in others.
Yeah, and that's especially true for grain growers. And we're talking here mainly about growers in inland New South Wales and parts of Queensland, Victoria and South Australia. The thing is, though, it's not just the farmers who benefit from a good year.
So maybe, if you don't mind, we'll just get you to introduce yourself first, Peter. Full name and title.
My name is Dr. Peter Brown. I'm a research scientist at CSIRO Health and Biosecurity. I lead the rodent management team.
We had you in our diary as Mouse Man. Is that correct?
I have worked on mice, I've worked on rats, I've worked on all sorts of things, but at the moment, that's probably an appropriate title.
Great.
So you're probably the perfect person to answer our very basic opening question, which is, what is a mouse plague?
So the house mouse in Australia is an introduced animal to Australia. It is the common boring old house mouse. It has a worldwide distribution. It's got a wide distribution in Australia. Because they're rodents, they've got continually growing incisor teeth. They need to, you know, keep gnawing to keep them sharp and keep them worn down nicely. Mm-hmm. They do prefer to eat grain. That's what they're originally sort of, I guess, designed to eat. And really, it's the high quality food that you know, if you have a series of dry years like we've had up until last year, and then you have a really excellent year, mice, you know, they start their breeding early. Normally the breeding season goes for about 9 months from the beginning of spring, so September sometime, through to April or May. So they're breeding for a 9 month period. And numbers, because of that really good season, numbers just build up, high rates of survival, excellent high quality food. And with the rate of breeding that mice have, they can have 10 pups in a litter because the females have got 9 nipples. They just breed up really quickly. And so we're just at a situation where we're seeing, you know, the mouse as a classic invasive species is taking advantage of all those situations to build up in really, really high numbers in large parts of New South Wales. And that's what we're seeing with the mouse plague at the moment.
So a bumper year for grain crops like wheat and barley means good conditions for mice to breed, like mice. Anne Cullen is a grain grower at Coonamble in western New South Wales, which was one of the regions that got hit early.
They started sort of slowly, and then we were baiting, and then it just suddenly exploded, the way they breed up so quickly. Suddenly exploded, just literally thousands and thousands crawling over my haystack. They were all in the house, out at the chook yard, just running around. You'd go out in the evening and they were just, the ground was just covered in mice running around. It just seems to be one thing after the other. You know, we had a good season, and that obviously is the beautiful habitat with lots of rain, lots of grass, and grain in paddocks. So it was a perfect habitat for the mice to breed. Every day we were going out and putting out the mouse bait, and I just didn't seem to be getting anywhere. They were just still there. And it's just an expense buying all the mouse bait that we don't need. I've spent over $40,000 with buying the mouse bait, the aerial spreading when our last year's crop was ripening, because they were eating the grain in the paddock. And we're only small farmers. I can imagine the bigger farmers would be spending a lot more money.
Okay, so a pretty stressful situation. And when we say the mice have reached plague proportions, we went back to Peter to nail down what that actually means. And he says it's to do with the number of mice detected per hectare.
Normally, you know, when numbers are low, you might have 5 or 10 mice per hectare, really quite low numbers. When numbers start to build up, you know, you might have 50 mice per hectare and you'll start to see a bit of activity. And then about 200 mice per hectare, you're probably starting to see economic damage to crops, although it depends on what kind of crop it is. And then when numbers get really high, we're talking 800 to 1,000 mice per hectare or more, that's when we would classify that as a mouse plague, or certainly an outbreak anyway, a different terminology there. But when numbers are really, really high, it's sometimes the numbers go off the scale, and depending where you're doing that monitoring. So if you're doing monitoring in and around an area like a piggery, for example, which, you know, attracts mice, or a big grain storage facility, you know, mice can smell that there's, you know, food around if there's spilt grain or things like that. And they're just moving locally within these different areas, and they just build up and concentrate in these areas, and densities can get really, really high. Could be thousands of mice per hectare. And, you know, you've probably seen some of the classic footage that's doing around on social media, you know, just thousands of mice running around. And that's what happens during a classic mouse plague is, you know, these mice are starting to congregate in these areas and just reach really incredibly high numbers.
Just a mouse problem? I think not.
And that's sort of the classic image of what people might consider a mouse plague.
When was the last time it was this bad in New South Wales?
So about 10 years ago, at the end of the, the Millennium Drought, there would have been numbers reasonably high then, although it does appear that numbers might be higher this time around in New South Wales. I have to go back to older records because I remember it was about 1995, there was a large number of mice and a big baiting program that was organised to try and manage the problem. And then before that, might have been 1980 or 1984. It just kind of depends on the climate and what's happening with cropping systems and things like that.
All right, so this isn't unprecedented, but it is pretty big, even in a historical context. And if you've seen some of the videos online over the past few weeks of piles and piles of dead mice in the corners of people's sheds, you do get a sense of that. There were also some horrifying accounts of the effect on fish being caught in inland rivers like the Macquarie at Narromine near Dubbo, like this one from fisherman Mick Harris.
We've seen a lot of mice either being regurgitated by fish as they're caught, as they're brought in the boat or released, so cod vomiting, regurgitating up dead mice. A friend who kept a legal-sized fish a month or so ago found five mice in that fish's stomach. So without being too gory and too descriptive, basically five semi-digested, they look embalmed almost, mice that have been found in that stomach when the fish has been killed and gutted. It's obviously part of their natural food source in a regular year, and there's lots of them around, so they're gorging on them at the moment.
What is the sort of classic or typical intervention when you have a mouse plague?
So in the cropping region, the main sort of technique that the growers have available to them is to apply poison, and that poison is zinc phosphide. Now, zinc phosphide is an acute rodenticide. It acts by, the mouse eats the zinc phosphide is coated on a wheat grain. The mouse eats that grain, and then the zinc phosphide converts to phosphine in the stomach environment, the acid environment of the mouse, converts to phosphine gas, and then causes damage to sort of the internal organs of the mouse, and then the mouse will die. So the only registered in-crop rodenticide available to growers in Australia is to apply zinc phosphide. Up until recently, there was the rate was 25 grams per kilogram of bait. If mice are only maybe 1,000 mice per hectare, there should be ample bait available for mice to control a problem. But we actually found that zinc phosphide wasn't working in all situations. So then we did a study looking at the lethal dose rate, and we worked out that the amount of poison on an individual grain probably should be about twice what it should be. So instead of 25 grams per kilogram, we worked out it should be maybe 50 grams per kilogram. And then that formed the basis of a application to the APVMA, the pesticides regulator, with the support of Grain Producers Australia, and APVMA approved that. And now we're far more confident that this double strength zinc phosphide bait at 50 grams per kilogram, one grain, should be a lethal dose.
Okay, so there's that dosage change, which Peter says should help, but there's a side effect. Vets in some places say all these baits being left for mice have led to an increase in pets, especially dogs, having to receive treatment for poisoning.
Yeah, like this is Dubbo vet Ross Pedrana.
Probably two or three months ago, it really reached its peak. It's certainly still, we're still seeing a lot of active cases now, and there's hardly a day that goes by that we don't get admissions with various stages of rat and mouse poisoning.
But there's also another option being discussed. It's called bromodialone, which according to the state government in New South Wales could be, and I quote, napalm for mice.
We will actually purchase the poison. We will treat their grain absolutely free of charge using the most powerful poison that we can get our hands on in Australia, a poison called bromodialone, which is currently illegal because it's so strong. We're really stepping it up.
Right, so that was the New South Wales Agriculture Minister, Adam Marshall. But people like Stu Crawford, who's a farmer in Narromine, are worried that that might have unintended consequences for the rest of the food chain.
Sort of alarmed me that, that the cod are eating the mice and one, potential fish kills, and two, those mice entering the food chain, i.e. Someone catches a fish and eats that fish, are they going to get poisoned? So I sort of furthered on and sent an email to APVMA, just stating the position on what I'd heard, and they have responded to me, just stating that they'll be taking all consideration when making a decision. They weren't very forthright in actually that issue of it, but I did forward a message to them. Bromodialone obviously can enter the food chain. It's probably more dangerous as far as killing off target species alone from mice. And I can only speak from our experience, but we've been quite happy with this performance of zinc phosphide.
separate to zinc phosphate, in New South Wales, the government is proposing this emergency use approval for an anticoagulant. This is bromodialone. What's the idea here and what are the risks?
I can't really say much because we have to wait to see whether the APVMA approve the use of bromodialone. Bromodialone is a anticoagulant. It's one of the potent anticoagulants, so it requires only a single feed. And the anticoagulants were developed some time ago because it overcomes the innate fear that a lot of rodent species have to new food sources. There are lots of risks with it, of course, and there are people that have been doing studies looking at how the anticoagulants accumulate up through the food chain. So, you know, you really need to talk to an expert on that. Not me, but, you know, there are some potential secondary poisoning risks there because of, you know, predators eating sickle dying rodents in that way.
Just looking at the where we're at in the timeline of the plague, I mean, do plagues have a natural cycle where they end? And if so, how far away might that point be here?
Yeah, so a mouse plague will end at some point. We're not sure when, honestly. We know historically, looking back at all the previous data we've got, we know that numbers will crash either May, June or July. We've missed the May crash. Hopefully it's going to happen in June or hopefully in July. However, there are instances where mouse plagues run over a two-year period.
Wow.
We've got that monitored in Victoria through two situations out of the several sort of outbreaks we've got good data on. So it does happen. Again, we don't know what's going to happen with this one. What I can tell you, though, is that, you know, through the monitoring we do, because we're trapping the population, we can look at mouse abundance or densities. We're looking at the breeding season. We can determine when the breeding season starts. You know, we can look at average litter size and survival of animals, all that sort of thing. And we've got a really good picture or good handle of how the population increases, but we've never been able to predict when the crash is going to occur. And the crash is often a combination of a whole bunch of different reasons. So, you know, we know there are diseases circulating in the population. We know densities get really high, increases in social pressure. There's also a decline in the food abundance.
Yep.
And so there's all these sort of things going on. And for whatever reason, we don't know if it's one particular trigger that leads to this collapse or a combination of different things. And it's certainly an area of research some people have looked at, but we've never really been able to nail, you know, what's really going on there. So we don't know. To be honest, we know it's coming soon, but we just can't put a date on it when it's going to happen.
That is The Signal for today. Our email is thesignal@abc.net.au. Feel free to get in touch with any story ideas you might have, and we'll be back in your feed at the same time tomorrow. Bye.
Bye.
You've been listening to an ABC podcast. Discover more great ABC podcasts, live radio and exclusives on the ABC Listen app.